Everybody here knows that I do a lot of travel, and so I'm not here as often as I'd like to be. And just because things were so busy this week, I wasn't able to hear the message that was preached last week by my brother Rich. And so I finally had a chance to listen to it yesterday. I encourage you to, if you have not heard the message from last week, go to www.freedomworshipcenter.us. It's in the sermon podcast. It's an excellent message, reaching your high places. So I want to welcome you all. It's so good to have you with us this morning. When I think of a temple, I think of a building, one with a roof, walls, and it's built on some kind of foundation. But then I'm always reminded of what it says in 2 Corinthians 6:16. It says, "For we are the temple of the living God." Well, that's truth. And you know, it's also true that at times that we can live in an act in a way that proves that we really don't believe that. Now, I started this message this morning in this way for two reasons. One, to help you understand that when I say I've been asking God to help me get my house in order, that you'll get the meaning. And two, to reinforce who we really are. We are the temple or house of the living God. And we have a responsibility to maintain our house. I've been praying for quite a while for God to help me with my health, mainly to lose weight. And it was through this time of prayer and searching that God opened my eyes to, and showed me an interesting new way to see things about myself and other people in the spirit. When I see Christians walking around with their head down, looking defeated, I no longer think, "Oh, I wonder what's going on in their life." I now think, what is the condition of their house? Is there maybe some area in need of repair? Well, I want to encourage you this morning to hear the words of the Lord and respond in whatever way you need to in order to get your house in good condition, because I'm sure that there are areas in all of us that could use a little help. We have weapons, church, weapons that we can use to get and keep our house in good condition. So I'm not sure if you've noticed, but in the last several months, I've seen quite a few postings on Facebook from seasoned men of God about our weapons. I mean, Pastor even preached a message a month ago called A Call to Arms. So I believe that God is using many different ways to get the message out there. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 10:4, the New King James Version says, "The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God to the pulling down of strongholds." Now, some versions of the word will use fortresses, but I think stronghold paints a clearer picture, don't you? Stronghold. What is a stronghold? A stronghold is anything that has gotten into our house and has taken our focus off of Him. When our eyes are off of Him, our condition deteriorates, and our house no longer stands strong. Amen? I mean, I hope you agree with that. Do we have any strongholds here this morning? I think we all at times have things that we struggle with and have a hard time getting past. But church, we need to use the weapons that God has made available. One of those seasoned men of God that I mentioned earlier is Pastor Al Chapman, who will be here next Sunday. He posted this on Facebook about the weapons of our warfare. He said, "To be effective in the kingdom of God, each believer must be aware of the weapons that God has made available, as well as their application and purpose, in order to ensure a quality, faithful, and fulfilled life." When we talk about what Scripture says, the weapons of our warfare, it suggests that we understand that we are in a battle. Or at the very least, we need to know what those weapons are. It's the application of some of these weapons in their purpose is what I want to talk about this morning. We can make the decision to live a life where we will refuse to fight back. I'm too tired and worn out. I just can't do this anymore. I quit on you, God. I've heard people say these things. With these attitudes, not only can we not be effective, but we in fact leave ourselves open for attack. We also cannot live full of faith or feel in any way fulfilled. Today, let's take a stand. If this is you, say enough is enough. Arm ourselves with the weapons that God has made available. And in order to do that, we will need to get our houses in order. So I've titled this message, "What is the condition of your house?" Believe me when I tell you that I've had plenty of time to look at myself since putting this message together. God has revealed so much. And I know that he's ready to reveal some things to you. Amen. So we have weapons, church. When God gave you his weapons, he did not hold out on you so that if you just endure a little longer or wait, he'll give you something better. No. He gave you his best weapons first. Our temple, our body, our house needs to be strengthened in order to fight off the attacks of the enemy. It says in 2 Thessalonians 2:2, or 3:3 rather, I'm sorry. The promise of the Lord is this: the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen you and protect you from the evil one. That's his part. Pastor said one Sunday, and I thought it was pretty clever, he said that we need to prepare the vessel for maximum benefit. The Lord is faithful. Are we faithful to do what the Lord is asking us to do? Well, this is how we get maximum benefit. So today I want to look at three areas of our house and some weapons God has given us to strengthen our house and, in the process, protect us from the evil one. I know this is kind of different, but just bear with me. The first area of our house is our roof. And the weapon that keeps it in good condition is prayer. Because after all, prayer is our covering, right? James 5:16 in the NIV says, "The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective." The Amplified Version says, "Prayer makes tremendous power available." So prayer is a power weapon, and we need to use it. If we look at prayer as our roof, our covering, when a roof is left unattended, it will degrade over time. I learned that replacing a roof is hard work. I did that for a period of time for work, and I was sore at the end of the day. But hear this. It takes work, but it's necessary to protect everything that's under it. Amen? God showed me while on the job one day replacing a roof that the thoughts in our heads can show the condition of our roof. Our thoughts can be our worst enemy, can't they? We can't stop them from hovering around us. They seem to always be looking for an opportunity to get our attention with the goal to get our focus off of Him. I think of the scripture, Psalm 94:19, which says, "When my anxious thoughts multiply within me." The writer reveals what happens to us when we let our roof deteriorate. What was the condition of his house? Seems his roof needed some repair. Those thoughts didn't have to work through the many layers of his roof because his roof had a leak. And you know, it's funny because we kind of touched on this during a men's breakfast recently. God is getting our attention. Remember, the main focus of those thoughts is to get our eyes off of Him. We need to pray the blood of Jesus over our thoughts. This will purify those thoughts and repair those leaky roofs so that what's inside is pure and righteous, and those wrong things on the outside cannot get in. Doing this on a regular basis is something that I believe a truly victorious Christian needs to do on a regular basis, to keep those leaks from reappearing. A life without prayer, like a roof left unattended, will degrade over time. This is why if somebody ever comes to me and tells me, "Oh, my life is a mess right now," I'll ask them, first question, "What's your prayer life like?" And if they're honest, and sometimes they are, they'll tell me, "Oh, it's not what it should be." They give themselves the answer to the problem. Now, I've heard Pastor say this a few times lately. He'll say, prayer, it may not always change your situation, but it does change your attitude about your situation, and that's what honors God. Does your house have a room for prayer? Matthew 6:6 says, "When you pray, go into your inner room and close your door." Closing the door is significant because not only are you shutting out all your distractions, but you're making a decision to put your eyes on Him alone. You're saying, "It's just you and me, God." That's all He wants. A house that has a prayer room is a house that stands strong and unshakable. The second area of our house are our walls. And the weapon that keeps it in good condition is repentance. Now, I chose repentance to go with our walls because when done with the right heart, it brings the presence and move of the Lord that surrounds us like a wall. Acts 3:19 says, "Therefore, repent and return so that your sins may be wiped away, in order that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord." Repentance is important to God. I was reading in Jeremiah 3:4, and I don't have these scriptures for you, I was reading in chapter 3 and chapter 4 of Jeremiah, and in Jeremiah 3:14, Jeremiah 3:22, and Jeremiah 4:1, three times God called for a turning, a change, a repenting. Three times in 15 verses, because he wanted so much to bless his people. This is the God we serve. Repentance is important to Jesus. In Matthew 9:13, he explains who he came to invite to repentance, not the righteous, but the sinners. In other words, all of us. Walls are very important to the house because they support the roof. Just as repentance is important to our spiritual house, because it supports our prayers. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. See, it's repentance that keeps our walls solid and the power of sin out. If we repent, and it's truly from a humble and contrite heart, our life will be fulfilling, and our walls will be solid and dependable. If repentance is important to God and His Son, it needs to be important to us. I know personally that I can do better in this area, and you know, I'm not ashamed to admit that. I get there eventually, but it's not quick. That's, you know, that in itself is progress, but I am asking God to help me repent a lot quicker. The third area of our house is our foundation. And the weapon that keeps it in good condition is living and acting and knowing that Jesus Christ is our one and only foundation and all we need. Or as we call it, knowing who we are in Christ. Ephesians 2:20. Now, I don't have that on there either because I want to read the J.B. Phillips version. Ephesians 2:20, J.B. Phillips version. You belong now to the household of God. Firmly beneath you, in the foundation, God's messengers and prophets, the actual foundation stone being Jesus Christ himself. In him, each separate piece of building, properly fitting into its neighbor, grows together into a temple consecrated to God. You are all part of this building in which God himself lives by his Spirit. When we're going through a tough time, what foundation are we standing on? Is it on John 14:1? Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me. Or is it based on what our eyes see? The foundation is the most important part of our house because it supports the walls and the roof. In other words, supports everything. Do we live in a way that shows that we truly understand this? Are we actively seeking to know Him and who we are in Him and what that means to our spiritual health and the condition of our house? Jeremiah 29:13 says, the Lord says, you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Church, if we're seeking him or searching for him with all our heart, then our focus is on him. This is a good thing. Because we have things like fear doubt and unbelief that are constantly trying to weaken our foundation. Do we really know that Jesus is the foundation of our Christian walk and that he supports us in everything? Do we know that? He supports us emotionally as our counselor. He supports us physically as our healer. He supports us spiritually as our redeemer. Knowing this is vital to a true relationship with him. You know what it says in Romans 10:11? It says, whoever believes in him will never be disappointed. Never means never, church. And you know, I had to add this in this morning because I feel it needs to be said. We can't gauge this disappointment on whether or not we get our own way. Because if God doesn't answer a prayer, then I have to believe he has something way better planned for me. No, he teaches me new things about this all the time. Because, if I have to be honest, I worry about everything. And so I appreciate and love the way he teaches me more and more about this scripture and what it means for my life. This foundation is an area of our house that God will do his best work because it's the most important if we let him. Now, earlier I mentioned a door. I mean, what is a house without doors? In John 10:9, Jesus said, he is the door. He's saying that only through him salvation is possible. It's when we walk through the door that what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17 becomes reality. It says, the old life is gone. A new life has become. Our house gets a remodel. But we're still going to need to do some maintenance, especially over time. Church, use the weapons that God has made available. Now, I know I'm preaching basic Christianity, but you know, if we understand how important our foundation is, then we would understand how important it is to maintain our foundation. If we're always trying to learn more every day about who we are in him, then our eyes are always on him. And those things that come against us only teach us rather than distract or annoy us. Our focus never comes off of him. How many Christians are walking around with holes in their roofs, cracks in their walls, cracks in their foundations because they refuse to fight back? Well, God is in the restoration business. And I believe he wants to restore houses this morning. Restoring roofs, restoring walls, restoring foundations. When we partner with God, that's one of Pastor's favorite phrases. And when we partner with God, we prepare the vessel for maximum benefit. Now, I don't want anyone to think that because of this message that I'm saying that as a church we're off track. That's not what I'm saying. All I'm saying is maybe individually we could use a little maintenance today. When I say I want to get my house in order, I'm not talking about the house I live. I'm talking about the house that he lives in. I'm talking about me. I'm talking about us. When we know who we are in Christ, We know what our response needs to be when dealing with those things that come against us and with others. Now, I'm almost getting ready to close, but I just had so many leftover notes and observations while putting this message together, and I just want to finish by just running you through some of them. We have weapons. One is prayer, and it's not a burden, it's a gift. When you're in a war, you can't look at firing back in defense of your enemy as a burden. You have to fire back, and God has given us prayer and its power to overcome that enemy. Yes, you are going to have to do something. God tells us to pray. Through history, man is always trying to come up with the newest and the most powerful weapons, but I want to tell you this morning that God is not holding out on you. He started by giving you his most powerful weapons first. But it does us no good unless we use them. We are called to be a house of prayer. It means we are called to be a place of covering. It means that we are to be a place that calls down the blood of Jesus for those who need a change in their lives. And change cannot come without prayer. We understand that the armor of God is also a covering. And a man by the name of E.M. Bounds, who wrote a devotional on prayer, says that prayer strengthens that armor. Because without active prayer, even the armor can begin to deteriorate. We live in a fallen world, and we are a fallen man who sins. God has given us a way to restore our relationship with him when we sin. It's called repentance. If we think we do everything right and are unable to see who we really are, or if we live an unthankful life of entitlement and feel we have nothing to apologize for, we will miss out on a true relationship with our Father God and our brothers and sisters. You say, well, doesn't the Bible say he will never leave you nor forsake you? Of course. Romans 8, 38 and 39 says, nothing can separate us from the love of God. His love will always be there for us. We are called Christians for a reason. God has given us his Son who saved our souls and gave us eternal life. But does the look on my face, Monday through Sunday, show that I truly believe all that? You know, sometimes I can feel like I'm on the edge of a cliff. But I don't have to let the whole world know that. And when I do, what kind of witness am I? We need to believe no matter what we have going on in our life, Romans 8:28 says, God is going to work it out for our good. It's called living a life built on a foundation that is strong and unshakable, even when I can't be. This foundation has a name. His name is Jesus Christ. I love what Paul says in Galatians 2:20. He was a man who knew who he was in Christ. He said, I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I that live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. And then he goes on in Galatians 6, and I don't have that one there for you. He goes on in Galatians 6 to say, I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ, the wounds, scars, and other outward evidence of persecutions. These testify to his ownership of me. Church, coming to know Jesus has been the single most important decision of our life. And I am personally grateful because I have experienced how much he loves. God will do his part if you do your part. It says in Isaiah 54:17, no weapon formed against us will prosper. When we walk through that door that is Jesus himself and apply all it means to our life, then we will understand Psalm 91, the Psalm of Protection. I want to encourage you today, be strengthened and set free. Because the Bible says in John 8:36, whom the Son has set free is free indeed. If we are using these weapons that God has made available, here's another thing I can tell you will happen. Our enemy will not look at our house the same way. He will not see a house in need of repair. He'll see a fortress that is not easily penetrated. If we are the temple of the living God, let's live and act like it. I'll ask you again, what is the condition of your house? There are so many things that come against our house, and some get in, and they become a stronghold. They can take our focus off of him, but remember, we have weapons. Let's use them today to put our focus on him and him alone. Church, I finally come to the realization that in order for my spiritual health to be relevant in any way, I have to constantly remember these three things. Number one, there's no better covering over me than prayer. And there's no more anointed prayer other than the prayer of salvation than praying the blood of Jesus over my life. I do it often. Number two, there's no better wall, which is meant for our protection and which keeps the power of sin out, than repentance, which brings with it the presence of God. And number three, there's no better foundation, which my heart and my whole Christian existence is set upon, than knowing my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and him crucified and him resurrected. Father, have your way in this place today. I pray blessings upon your life and your house. Amen. In Jesus' name. I want to open the altar. I wasn't sure if I was going to do this, but during the worship, I believe the Lord was saying, come and receive. He wants to do the deep work today. He wants to touch those deep places. He's saying, if there's a crack in your foundation this morning, let's get it repaired. If there's a crack in your wall this morning, let's get it repaired. If there's a hole in your roof this morning, let's get it repaired. Amen. So I'll just ask that the elders come up and we'll pray for you. Amen.